When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello? Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Ask Bill. But before we get started on this is a fun show. I always enjoy doing these, answering your questions as they come in. And just want to give you just a quick shout out there and say, hey guys, I hope you're doing well. I hope that you are moving forward with your goals this year regarding real estate investing, whether you're in the research process of reading and collecting information, maybe being mentored or what have you, to actually, you know, buying your second or third or fourth or fifth property. Either case, I hope you're just moving forward and you're encouraged by just by the process. It's sometimes it's really tough and sometimes it's challenging and there are a lot of delays that can happen, but you know, don't lose heart because man, stick to it. I have been doing the same, and the market definitely changed as I was moving into my aggressive apartment purchasing, and looks like we may have an apartment that may be able to say something about very soon. So, but we waited a long time to do that. Some of the other things we've been up to while we were looking, and we didn't have a lot of other activity going on other than putting out LOIs and trying to find different investments. We were trying to optimize the investments that we do have, and I have been doing that in terms of upgrading and trying to also be a little more strategic in the placement of tenants in my buildings and my other properties. One of the unique things we were doing at the 22 unit is upgrading the units to get a higher rent value. So we had some empties and we went in there and made sort of a bold move to, in terms of putting in new countertops, new appliances, painting in a much more sort of contemporary way, some neat things with the vinyl flooring and carpet, and just some neat things in terms of just upgrading the unit. And this has allowed us to move from, and this is a studio or efficiency apartments, from $450 a month to $675 a month. I know that sounds crazy, but we're having no problem getting those rents for these upgrades. So we're plowing through, and we're doing that. We also are still real active in our Airbnb, but it's been a little bit more of a struggle, unfortunately. We've had, with the weather changes, it's an older building built in 1925. We have bugs that just don't seem to go away. It's like that gift that just keeps on giving. And that doesn't go well with Airbnb guests. And so I've had to refunds and pay the bug people to come in there and to do, spraying and so forth. So that's been a little bit of frustrating. And then as soon as you get a bad review, ouch, it does not help with Airbnb at all. So just a little bit of a reality there. If you're thinking of doing Airbnb, make sure you've got that particular area nailed down, because that can be a real turnoff for guests that are just staying for a short period of time. We put some lights on the building. I think we mentioned that. And lighting up the area around our building has kept a lot of the stuff in the neighborhood that was not so favorable away. Drug deals, things like that. Been non-existent with these big bright lights out there and stuff. So that's been really a good little tip for those of you out there that might be interested. So anyway, those are little updates for you guys on what we've been going through and fun things ahead. So let's move into our Ask Bill section. Okay, this is our monthly Fun Fact Friday, where I answer specific real estate investing questions received during the month from emails, in-person conversations, phone calls, or through online portals such as BiggerPockets.com and Quora. One of our goals here at the Old Dogs REI Network is to help to educate and enlighten fellow real estate investors to share what knowledge we have by answering your questions and to help other investors to broaden their understanding of real estate investing and to hopefully avoid some of the mistakes that we have experienced that may cost you later. So anyway, let's move forward with our first question. And this one is from our friend Dan. Good guy. I've talked to him before and he's interested in investing at some point. And he said, I listened to your podcast on the episode about the difference between debt and equity investments. The part about building a relationship prior is a necessity for non-accredited investors. I'm signed up for your investor newsletter, and it also sounded like there was information available there as well. And so I just want to get back to Dan and say, hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for signing up for our investor newsletter, which is really the only way to find out about investment opportunities that we might be involved in. He also mentioned, too, that he had talked to his accountant to find out if his accountant could do anything to certify him as an accredited investor. And so I'm going to try to address all these questions in here. So basically, I said, hey, Dan, how are you? Great hearing from you again. Good questions. Yes, you are right. Investments for sophisticated investors, which are the ones you're talking about that you have to know in advance, okay, do require a prior relationship. Okay, you are... for example, Dan and I have talked, and so we have corresponded by phone and email. So we have an established relationship. Should he want to get involved in that type of syndication? Now, there are two main types of real estate syndication. So I'm just going to offer a little clarity here for those of you that are passive investors or considering being a passive investor. The two main ones are a 506B and a 506C. And I contacted my own syndication attorney, Kim Lisa Taylor, who's also been a guest here at the Old Dogs REI Network. You can find out more about Lisa at syndicationattorneys.com. But this is the answer that basically she has, just to clarify it. And she says that, yeah, social forums discuss the rules behind 506B and 506C, but they only kind of give good partial explanations. So here are the complete rules. Okay, let's start with a 506B. Okay, this allows you to raise an unlimited amount of money from an unlimited number of accredited investors and up to 35 sophisticated investors. Investors can self-certify by attesting that they meet the definitions, okay, as a sophisticated and as an accredited investor. However, you cannot use any means of general advertising or solicitation to promote the offering. To prove this, you must be able to demonstrate that you have a substantive pre-existing relationship with every investor before you make any of them an offer to invest. The pre-existing relationship has been further defined as knowing whether the investor is sophisticated or accredited before you make the offer. That means you must have already had a conversation about the investor's finances and his or her business, finance, or investing experience to know if that person is sophisticated or meets the qualifications as an accredited investor. So for an accredited investor or individuals, 1 million net worth or 200,000 income if single or 300,000 income if married. Okay, so that's the 506 B that Dan was referencing, where you have to have that prior relationship, okay? And it defined what that relationship was. I think that was a great explanation. So let's look at the other type of syndication, a 506C. This allows you to also raise an unlimited amount of money from an unlimited number of verified accredited investors. You can freely advertise your offering to everyone, including on a crowdfunding platform, but you must be reasonably assured that all investors are accredited before accepting their funds. The SEC has suggested that someone with a license, like a CPA, certified investment advisor, attorney, broker, dealer, etc., be able to review the investor's financial records within 90 days of the investment to determine if the person is accredited and provide you with a certification letter. The investor must provide further assurance that he or she is accredited, which is usually done through a subscription agreement where the individual certifies that he or she meets the definition of an accredited investor. So that's it with the 506C. Let's say I'm purchasing an apartment, and I could announce it on this show. I could promote it on the show, what have you. But I cannot do that if I'm doing a 506B, which is what we are doing on this upcoming apartment. It's only going to be available for those that I have communicated with. So certified as an accredited investor, there are also outside services that do this, one of which is called earlyiq.com. There'll be a link in the show notes, and you can find out more about that outside certification as well. So anyway, Dan, thanks. Good question. Hope that information was helpful for you. Okay, let's look at our next question. This one is a Quora question. It says, is there still land in the U.S. that is unclaimed? So let me answer that. Yes, there still is lots of land in the U.S. you can get for free. That's right. You heard it. For free. For example, in Lincoln, Kansas, you can get a free plot of land in a subdivision that is all set up with power utilities and, get this, a 10-year property tax rebate program. Okay? All for free. That's right. All for free. In fact, I did a whole podcast on this very subject, and it was episode 098 called 16 Places Where You Can Get Land Free. Just like homesteading, like, you know, Little House on the Prairie. You just got to get your wagon train together and just get down there and stake your claim. Well, maybe not like that. But hey, I will have a link to this episode 098, or you can just look it up yourself, 16 places where you can get free land. And there's like 16 links to different places where you can actually get free properties. Now, granted, you have to probably live there on the land or open a business on the land, but nonetheless, the land's still free. So come on, time to move. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so yeah, that's a great resource. So I hope that answers your question. Let's go to, I think we got one more question here. Yeah. What is the best way to start investing in real estate with only a small $10,000 or so amount of money? I'm in my early 20s. Okay. Hey, that's pretty enterprising of you, young person, because you can do a lot with $10,000 to get started in real estate. In fact, it's pretty wise that you should try to use, let's say, I would say, as little of the $10,000 as possible, because you don't have to use all of it to get started. Part of the beauty of real estate investing is that you can use leverage even from the very beginning. You can start more creative by using, let's say, OPM. You guys have heard of that. Other people's money, such as partners, other investors, banks, and even sellers. A lot of people balk at the whole no money down approach, but it's still possible, and people do it all the time. It is more difficult and requires more knowledge and effort, but it is possible, and you can make your funds last longer. So if you could take that $10,000 and only use it for just mandatory fees and get owners to carry back or get other investors to cover your costs, then I would hold on to that $10,000. And as you start investing, you will add to that $10,000, and you'll end up with a nice little savings account there with more funds to buy bigger properties. Or you could, let's say, use that full $10,000 to purchase, let's say, a very inexpensive home. That's possible too, but the home will likely need some work. Okay, so let's say if you found a $100,000 home, and this is, there's a lot of $100,000 homes, not in California, but in other parts of the U.S. And if you, for example, purchased that house and you moved into it, okay, and you, it was $100,000, it may, let's say even a duplex. I mean, that's how I would do it. I'd take a buy a duplex and for $100,000, and you could do that. I bought one in Indianapolis for $52,000. And you could live in one side. That way you can get an FHA loan where you would only have to pay is 3% or even less. You can even get an FHA loan where you don't have to put anything down. Or you could get a down payment grant. And I've talked about that in the show as well. That'd be a great way to get started. Of course, you know, if you have a $100,000 home, you only need $3,000 to get, let's say, a 3% down FHA loan. Or you could take the full amount and let's say, you know, to do a 25% down payment on a home that costs $50,000. Of course, you'd need a few thousand for closing and some other things. So I'm just giving sort of round, rough figures at this point. But you can do that, and it doesn't take much once you get going and once you start cash flowing like that. The duplex that I bought, now I did not move into one side or the other. I just bought it, and I had tenants in it at $650 per side, so it brought $1,300 a month in income, which is much better than the that's more than 2% instead of the 1% rule that you can be blessed with a great return on. So you should always be looking and be aware that sometimes it is out of state investing and people aren't comfortable with that, but that $10,000, and that's just rental property. There's a lot of other options and a lot of ways to leverage that, but you could do a lot with $10,000 if you're willing to be creative and invest in the right areas. If you're interested in learning more about real estate investing and how to acquire rental properties, I have an episode called How to Get Started in Real Estate Investing 006, and that can talk a lot about how to get started. So that is it for today, guys. Just want to thank you for listening. Please note everything I mentioned here is available in our show notes. And we have extensive show notes and with lots of links. Sometimes I don't even mention all the links that are in there. So you should really check out those show notes. They're located at olddogsreinetwork.com. Of course, dogs spelled dawgs.com/blog. And that's where all the show notes are. Look for the episode, the Ask Bill episode that we're currently doing. Well, anyway, that is it. Until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.